When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Welcome back, Junkies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan on the AM side, 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go all across the country. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville in studio. EB on the road as his daughter has one of her last volleyball matches at Cornell, part of the Ivy League. And we could start right there with our next guest, John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, joins us now. Brought to you by Golfdom, where they can custom fit you for new GT medals from Titleist or the new Apex irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. And I mentioned EB and Cornell because that's part of the Ivy League. Your latest book is called The Ancient Eight, College Football's Ivy League and the Game They Play Today. And John is just perusing it because we got it yesterday. I'm always amazed. One of the things about your work is you do exhaustive research. You, I believe, interviewed 82 players?
I did. And let me tell you, I do not envy EB making that trip to Cornell, having made it several times.
He does it all the time.
I've done it 100.
Than I am.
Yeah, wow. It's a nightmare, but it's worth it.
Once you're there, it's a great place.
Yeah,
but getting there, Dartmouth, same way. Dartmouth's not on the way to anywhere, but it is a beautiful place. And a lot of the other Ivy League people said to me that Dartmouth was almost like a cult because people go up there, you know, as students, as teachers, whatever, and they never want to leave. Mm. And last year when I was doing the book and they were dealing, of course, with the tragedy of two deaths, their head coach and one of their players, Josh Ballera, I was amazed that there were 9 assistant coaches who had been there at least 8 years. Mm. And nobody wants to leave the place once they get there.
It is beautiful up there. John, I don't know this. And again, we just got your book yesterday, and I was driving all day
for
yesterday.
For some reason, publishers send books out by Pony Express. I don't know why.
What program traditionally, though, through the years, has been the most dominant football program? I don't think Cornell is in that mix.
No. Cornell's not. Cornell and Columbia and Brown are sort of at the bottom. Brown's a little bit ahead of Cornell and Columbia. But Dartmouth has won the most Ivy League championships because they don't break ties. Since the presidents will not allow the football teams to take part in postseason. Don't ask me why, because I don't have an answer, and neither do they, really. Mm-hmm. But they play 10 games, 10 weeks, and if there's a tie, like last year, there was a 3-way tie. Dartmouth, Yale, and Harvard all finished at 6-2 in the league. And an amazing story for Dartmouth, by the way, which I'll get to if you want me to. But Dartmouth won the most Ivy League titles, followed by Yale and Harvard. They're 1, 2, and 3.
So, John, before we get to the Commanders, the new book is The Ancient Eight, College Football's Ivy League and the Game They Play Today. The one question that I really have, you know, you point out in the book that a lot of players from the Ivy League make it to the league, that you were surprised by how many scouts go to the games.
Yep.
How difficult is it for the players with the Ivy League academic workload just to be able to do it?
Yeah, it is difficult. That's a very good point. And the players will tell you they basically feel like they have 2 full-time jobs because they love football. The intensity and emotion on an Ivy League sideline is every bit as great as if you go to, Oregon or Notre Dame or any other big time program you want to pick out, because they love football. They played football all their lives. They know in most cases it's going to end after their senior years. There rarely are 5th-year players. There certainly aren't 6-year players. So they approach it by saying, okay, I've got two full-time jobs. One is my academics and one is playing football. And they're both important. And most Ivy League players graduate. They rarely transfer. Mm-hmm. Princeton had their first transfer last season for the first time since Jason Garrett in 1988. They don't look in the transfer portal. They hope not to lose many players in the transfer portal, and they rarely lose them. Most of the time, once a player gets to an Ivy League school, he says, I want that degree. I've worked for that degree. I don't want to transfer somewhere where a degree won't mean as much as an Ivy League degree means. And they stay 4 years, and they do graduate, and most of them go on and do things a lot more important than playing football. You know, they go to law school, med school, hopefully not become sports writers, and have a great deal of success. And you mentioned that I did 82 interviews with the players. I have to say, out of the 82, none were bad interviews. Mm. And that's not because I'm such a great interviewer. It's because the kids were smart. They understood what I was trying to do with the book, and they were willing to share their stories. And it made for a book that was a great deal of fun. And I hope if people read it, they'll come away with a new respect for Ivy League football.
Talking to best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. All right, so let's dive into the Commanders. They've played two games since we last spoke.
Right.
And then if you take a larger picture over the last six games, including the Ravens, the Eagles, and the Steelers, they're 3-3, but they also won on a Hail Mary. How right. should fans feel about where this team is right now at 7-4?
Well, the way I would look at it, and I'm probably more objective than most fans, is if I had told you in August they'd be 7-4 right now, what would you have said?
You'd take it.
You would have said, hey, that's a lot of progress mm-hmm. from a team that was 4-13. That probably means that Jaden Daniels is playing well and that they're headed in the right direction. Now, they've lost two in a row, and you're lucky. They were lucky to win the Bears game. But they lost to two good teams since we last spoke. The Steelers are better than I thought they were going to be. And I'm amazed by Russell Wilson's comeback, that he's played as well as he has, because I thought he was done, personally. And the Eagles are good. They're not great. I mean, remember, Washington was ahead after three quarters last night. But they're good. They're solid. And they have a great player in Saquon Barkley, who can break open a game. Very few teams have that running back. They may have a quarterback who can take over a game, but very few teams have a running back who can take over a game, in addition to a good quarterback in Jalen Hurts. So I wouldn't be too discouraged by those two losses if I were a fan. I would say, okay, you know, we knew this would be a key two-game stretch in terms of their chances to win the division. Their chances are much lower now than they were 10 days ago. But if they make the playoffs, and I still think they're going to make the playoffs, because they're at 7 wins and 10 will make it, 9 might make it, then you have to be encouraged by the season in general.
John, do you think that we've seen enough from Jaden to be fully confident that he can be a star in this league?
I am. I don't know about others, but I am. I think he's got the right mentality. He certainly has the physical tools. He's played 10 games. He's had a couple injuries. He's played less than 100%, but you do that in football, especially in the NFL. I think I told you guys the story of walking down the hallway after the Ravens' last game, the year that I did the book, and we were walking from the meeting room to the locker room so the players could talk to the media. And I looked around and I realized the only person not limping, and these were the guys who played Sunday, was me. Everybody else was beaten up. You get to this point in the season, you have aches and pains. You have to work to get ready to play again the next Sunday. And I've said to you right from the beginning that I thought they got lucky getting Jaden Daniels instead of Caleb Williams, and I will stick to that. Although part of Caleb Williams' problems is that they have such an awful team.
John, let's pivot and talk about the Caps here for a second. Through 15 games, Ovi has 10 goals. He's on pace for, I believe, 56. A lot of us before the season thought that it would take a season and a quarter, maybe a season and a
right.
half for him to reach Gretzky. He's way ahead of the pace. The Caps are better than expected. Now, they stubbed their toe a little bit against the Maple Leafs a couple of nights ago at Capital One Arena. Coach Carbs was not happy with the performance, especially over the last 20 to 30 minutes of the game. But the Caps have been better than expected so far.
Yeah, I mean, what are they, 10-4-1?
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, Ovechkin is playing very well. Now, you hope, given, what is he, 38, I think, that he won't
39.
Run out of gas late in the season. 39.
Yeah.
He won't run out of gas late in the season. Every time I look at that gray hair, I go, how can he be playing at this level? And he is. Mm. But I think people should be encouraged by the Caps start. I think they've got the right coach and the right GM in place. And I expect them, you know, they sneaked into the playoffs last year. I expect them to be a legit playoff team this year and maybe win a round. Who knows? You never know who you're going to play.
Do you make switch gears again, John? The Nats have been in the news the last couple weeks. Apparently, Rizzo's making some phone calls, according to rumors. You know, kind of starting to finally sniff around some big time players again, some big time free agents potentially, including Juan Soto. They say he called Boris to just kind of inquire. Who knows? I can't see a scenario where the Learners give him $600 or $700 million.
I can't either.
I mean, it just seems kind of crazy. But I guess you poke around. They can only, you know, stave off the fans winning 60 games, 65 games, whatever it is, for so long. It's about time they make a move, don't you think?
Yeah, excuse me. I do think it's time they make a move. Remember when they sold off all those players a couple of years ago, the big thing was, well, by 2025, we'll be contenders again. Well, we're coming up on 2025. And by the way, I think the rumors that Rizzo's poking around probably come from Rizzo. Because he wants people to know that he's getting involved with big name guys, because the fans want to hear that. But I think that you know, 2 years ago was encouraging because they improved. Last year was not, because they did not improve. And again, I thought Rizzo overreacted at the trade deadline, traded off some good players who could have been helping the team this coming year. But I you know, they've got a lot of young guys who have improved and who need to show a lot more improvement next year so that they can become a legitimate team again.
John, I forget, what's your beef with Rizzo?
Oh, it goes back to I wrote something about Jason Worth when he went to jail. And I said he deserved to go to jail for, what was it, 5 days, you know, for going 105 and a 55. And Worth was always one of those guys who was, you know, really friendly and outgoing when he played well and the team played well, and then would hide out when he and the team didn't play well. So I was critical of Worth, and he called me up, and, you know, of course I was happy to talk to him. And he started saying things like, you're just trying to sell newspapers. Well, that's the 1950s to begin with. And second of all, then he started cursing me out. And I didn't appreciate that. You know, I said, Mike, we can disagree, but let's be professional about this. Oh, you blank and blank. So we haven't talked much since then.
All right, well, it sounds kind of on brand for Mike.
For the record, we are Rizzo guys too. But
I know you're Rizzo guys. That's fine. Yeah. You can be wrong.
All right, John, congrats on the book. It's 50 books. I mean, it's an incredible achievement.
You're so prolific.
The latest is called The Ancient Eight, College Football's Ivy League and the Game They Play Today.
I wouldn't even do 50 blogs, let alone 50 books. What are we doing here, John? I'm so busy.
Well, it keeps me off the streets. Let's put it that
okay,
way.
Okay, good.
All right,
good.
It's The Ancient Eight. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, that's John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. Brought to you by Golfdom, where they can custom fit you for the new GT medals from Titleist. They've got the new Apex irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Coming up next, we're going to dive back into the Commanders and tackle the issue of playing the good teams and not being able to beat the good teams. Is this a thing? 800-636-1067. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 on a Misery Friday. Brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Opening up the phone lines at 800-636-1067 to talk about the schedule issue. Commanders are 7-4. Last three times they faced a team with a winning record, now they're all good. The Ravens, the Steelers, and now the Eagles, they've lost. So wondering what you make of that, But before we get to the callers and before we chime in on that, I think it's only fair. EB, almost every week for the last 6 weeks, usually very early in the show, you make a point of singling out Drab and you ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I've not heard you ask Drab that question.
Well, because it's too easy. I mean, he's just,
But I think it's fair for Drab to have a chance to respond because you've asked a question and you've begged him to give you an answer and he's refused to give you that answer. What say you, Drab T-shirt?
Well, Eric is already cracking because he slipped up about 30 minutes ago when he said, I think Jaden will be elite.
Okay.
He's already showing shades of doubt.
Oh, no. Okay? I don't. No. I'm not. I think he is elite. Currently.
Is he still top five?
Currently.
Is he still top five?
I don't know. But I definitely think he's elite. He's had two off games, though, for sure.
Small 100%. Sample size.
I'm 100% convinced. Size. I'm 100% convinced of his greatness.
Hey, I didn't spend 1 second thinking about coming here today and kicking Jaden while he's down or kicking him in the ribs.
Yeah.
because that wouldn't be fair because he's played a lot of great games. When mm-hmm. I said, so I'm not off Jaden because he's had a couple down games. I still think Jaden mm-hmm. Can be really good, and he is good. He's good right now. I just haven't seen those elite traits. There were a lot of luck that went his way. A lot of great Cliff was in his bag early, and he made some great throws. But I didn't see what I saw on last Thursday or Monday night, whenever it was, with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. Though that's elite to me. I hadn't seen that from Jaden passing for 212 yards a game and 20 something in touchdowns.
I know you love the running. My retort would be, he's played 9 or 10 games at that point.
I know, but you said he was better than Patrick Mahomes already. Everyone said he was elite. He is special. You can't go back and then say, well, he's only played 9 games.
You're missing my overall point.
I think we all missed
my
your point.
My point was, he was better in a 9-game snapshot than Patrick Mahomes was. And if you argue this season, yes. I made that crystal.
I know.
I made that crystal clear. And if you can't see that, you're not listening to me. Or listening to my argument.
But to use your argument about small sample size,
mm-hmm.
isn't it a small sample size to already call him elite? Like,
sure. I mean,
I think he showed.
Calling him elite through 10 games might be a bit of a stretch.
I think
he's been really good.
He has shown signs. All right. EB likes to say he makes all the throws. I think every quarterback can make all the throws. But he's shown signs that he can be a really good passer in the league. And obviously, he has elite speed. But ultimately, you need to see way more than just 9 or 10 games, right?
Nope,
and right now, if you look at the last 4 games, right, and you can argue, well, he's been hurt. Well, the last 4 games, he's only completing 59% of his passes, and he only has 4 touchdown passes. On the year, mm-hmm. he only has 10 touchdown passes. That's pretty pedestrian. All right, he's got 4 touchdown runs, so that's a total of 14 touchdowns overall. That's pretty pedestrian through 11 games. Like, I do think he has special traits. He was the number 2 pick in the draft. He can make all the throws. He has elite speed. But it remains to be seen. Like, you may be proven right, EB. He may be a Hall of Famer, generational talent. But he also could be Justin Fields.
I think
he's better than Justin Fields. But Justin Fields would have flashes and have stretches of games where you're like, this guy's amazing. But
I think
over the course of years,
he's already a better passer at this point than Justin Fields will ever be in the NFL. I think he's already proven that through 10. I give him 10 games.
Does the low touchdown total concern you?
He was in for one series.
The low touchdown total concern you?
No, not yet. Now, if he does that over 2 or 3 seasons and he only throws for 15 to 18 and then adds some rushing touchdowns, I would be concerned. But they're going to add extra pieces. They're going to add better weaponry than Noah Brown and Luke McCaffrey. Like, you can't rely on those guys as your number 2 wideout. They're going to add better pieces, and his numbers will get better.
It's not so much the touchdowns,
in my opinion.
It's you're starting to see things. Like EB was talking about earlier, he's throwing off his back foot. Now his fundamentals are looking shaky. That mm-hmm. he's playing better teams and he's getting pressure. He's trying to bail out of the pocket. He's not sitting in there, going through his progressions and taking shots downfield.
But I think those are correctable.
But not everyone can do that. Like, that's where a lot of guys struggle.
I think he will. And the other thing that I think, Drab, that makes him special beyond his physical gifts is he puts in the work. And I think that's what puts him over the top. Like, he puts in the work.
Who doesn't put in the work?
A lot of guys.
A lot of guys.
Dwayne Haskins didn't put in the work.
You don't want to be compared to Dwayne Haskins.
And they say that about Anthony Richardson. Look, but I just, that, but, just I putting mean, in your work doesn't mean you're guy, going to be elite.
No, no, but you have to have the skill set.
Generational talent, which you're
he
saying.
He has like, the skill set.
Yeah, but a lot of people have that skill set. And maybe
Andy
he will
puts
be.
In the work.
I just think, I would say that now that you're seeing, and Cliff Kingsbury's a part of it, the lack of a running game is part of it. There are a lot of factors in play, and we don't know about the health. But maybe everybody was a little over their skis on crowning Jaden Daniels when the guy's got 10 touchdown passes in 11 games.
I'm not going to bury
it. And if you look beyond that, you could look at a lot of other categories like attempts per game. You can look at his yards per game.
That's because they've been balanced attack. I have no problem. I think I've seen all the – you say all the throws. I've seen him throw guys open. I've seen him throw into tight windows. He's not doing that 10 times a game, but I've seen it that I know he can do it. I just think he's had a couple off games, and I think it's not a coincidence. It's been against the better teams. I think that's kind of normal.
And he's a rookie. I think he can be very good. I just think maybe you've gone a little too far with Hall of Fame and all that stuff, and we're seeing a little regression here.
That might be fair, but I stand by it. I'm not backing off it one iota.
Okay, but you also had RG3 in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think I did.
Okay.
I don't think I did.
Are you kidding me?
Ring of Honor.
I don't think.
Let's go Ring of Honor, EB.
Didn't have him in the Hall of Fame.
Back it out. Let's walk it back a little bit.
Bus proof.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
RG3 was having a statistically better year than Jaden is having right now.
Yeah. Like again, his toolbox is so much bigger than RG3's. It's crazy.
I don't know that.
I don't think he's anywhere near. I don't think RG3 is ever anywhere near the passer.
I think
the passing traits are markedly better.
He's shown he's a much better passer than RG3. Ever was.
Yeah. He's just had a tough little two-game stretch here.
I mean, statistically, you're not going to see that difference.
I'm talking about Tingle. Me watching him
Tingle.
Play. Yeah.
But like completion percentage, yards, all that stuff, it's probably actually an RG3 favorite.
Robert never threw guys open the way he did.
Robert never read the field the way he did. Career?
No, Robert, of course I would take Jaden. We know how it ended for RG3.
Robert was a one-read guy.
Okay.
Robert was a one-read guy.
I'll also take Patrick Mahomes over Jaden Daniels' cakes.
Again, you guys are – everybody misses my point. I'm no longer going to argue the Jaden versus Patrick Mahomes because nobody understands what I'm talking about.
Listen, I don't think this is a referendum on Jaden's – listen, I don't think this is a referendum on Jason's star. I don't think it is. I think it's the natural – like not everything is straight line up. Everybody has bad games. Everyone has off little sequences. I think he's in a little off stretch. I think the offensive line's not helping him. I think they're playing against better teams. I expect him to have monster games down the stretch.
Do you know out of 11 games, he only has one 300-yard game?
Yeah,
I'm not saying that's the be-all and end-all, but I'm just saying.
That was the Hail Mary.
They major in running.
Yeah, I don't even care about that. That I always told you he was never going to have massive statistics this year. I didn't think they would like certainly to be considered for an MVP. Like I just said, the statistics aren't there, but he was dominating these games, and he, without you know crazy numbers, he's dominating the games with his legs and with his arm, that combo and his poise. He was dominating.
I think he can be very good, and you may be proven right, but I saw something yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God, that is a bridge too far. Ron Jaworski, who I respect, maybe he's gotten too old and lost his fastball, and maybe he's right. He said that Jaden's the best rookie quarterback he's ever seen.
Who said that?
Ron Jaworski.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, I mean, just a few years ago, Justin Herbert, didn't he throw for like 30 touchdowns his rookie season? And I'm not saying Justin Herbert is the best that Ron Jaworski's ever seen, but we've seen other rookie quarterbacks have better years than what Jaden is having.
I think people are looking at the total skill set, and I think I am.
Hey,
kind of like what Cakes is saying about Tingle. You're just looking at it, and you're saying, this guy can do it all.
I trust Ron Jaworski breaking down quarterbacks more than I trust JP, me, anybody in that other room, EB, any of those other people. Because that dude played in the league for a long time, and he knows quarterbacks.
Justin Herbert had 31 touchdowns as a rookie.
You know more than Ron Jaworski about quarterbacks?
But he's old.
and he might have forgotten. I will agree that he's old.
People are wrong all the time, Cakes. You know what? If you want to apologize to me today and say, you know, I jumped the gun, I got HTTR in my bio, he still might be great, send me a tweet. I got guys who've been trolling me for 2 months now, mm-hmm. apologizing. I got a guy saying all the goodwill that Jaden's built up is gone. He's got to prove himself over again.
I know one person that will never apologize.
Well, those guys are crazy.
He's sitting in a hotel room in Cornell.
Well, you know what? Courage takes, you know, it's hard to have courage, Cakes. Not easy to speak the truth sometimes.
You forgot the cliche.
I forgot the cliche. You know,
so, we got to do what you were going for.
I'm more of a football mind.
Listen, I think Jade's going to be just fine. I think he struggled for a couple weeks, but all great quarterbacks struggle at times. All great, every single one of them.
Because Jaden struggled last night, then he's going to get the rest. He's going to come out and hopefully vaporize the Cowboys. And all we're going to hear is, "Well, that's just the Cowboys. They're terrible." That's what Jaden does. He beats up on bad teams, and he can't compete against the good teams. So that's fine. It's lose-lose.
No, but here's the thing, though. You were talking about small sample size. And the reality is 11 games is a small sample size.
10 games. I don't count the Carolina game. Okay. He was in for one series. Okay. He's played 10 games.
All right.
10.1 games.
Okay. So it's a small sample size, but people were crowning him after an even smaller sample size.
People were getting a little bit hyperbolic. I understand. I was getting swept up in the power rankings, too. I was looking like, the Commanders are ranked sixth by Yahoo Sports in the NFL power rankings. But what's going on
with Jaden in particular? People are getting like carried away over an even smaller sample size. And now you've seen some regression over the last month plus. And to get it back to the larger topic which we wanted to talk about is, a lot of it has happened against the better teams, and that makes sense. It's common sense, EB. You're right. It's common sense. You're not going to play as well against better defenses. But if you're a star, and we all believe that Jaden can be a star,
I think
you have to be able to have big performances against good teams. Like when Drab brings up Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, they're going tit for tat against each other. Now the Bengals don't have a good defense. And the Ravens don't have a good pass defense, so maybe that's not the best example. But you've seen Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes do it, right? Where it's back and forth, and that might happen this weekend. You're going to need to see Jaden have those performances against good defenses, too.
Yeah, no, he will. I have no doubt. Jaden, I don't know if it'll be this year, but Jaden will perform against elite defenses because he's elite. But I think your point is well taken when you say, how many guys on this team actually would start for the Eagles, right? Let's be honest about our talent. Maybe two guys, three if you throw in Lattimore, right? So I think Jaden is a spectacular player with as bright a future as anyone in the game. But he just needs more talent around him. We just need more time. They got off to a hot start. He played amazing to start the season. And they just probably, their record was probably a little bit better than it should have been. Now they're settling in, probably closer to where they should be. Still above where we thought they'd be.
Right, they're on track to win 9 or 10 games. I mean, nobody thought that was going to happen. Oh, except I did. I picked them to win 10 games. This guy right here.
But the same guy who has him ahead of Mahomes.
Again, I'm not arguing that. I'm just going to ignore that you said that. Bypass that. Because, again, nobody understands a little word. It's called nuance.
The only guy, let's say Jaden and Jalen, just for the sake of argument, is a wash. Okay, so then let's say Jalen, no, they're not looking to replace him. So the only guy offensively that would start for the Eagles would be possibly Terry,
maybe Cosme.
He's the only offensive lineman of any note.
Yeah. I think their guard, though, is a Pro Bowler who plays the same position.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only offensive lineman of any note. Defensively, I would assume Lattimore and maybe Luvu. You're talking about three players, players.
Yeah. And I think McLaurin is, as Cake said, a wash with Devontae Smith. They'd probably put A.J. Brown a little bit ahead of him.
Yeah, so let's just say he'd be their second or third receiver. Whatever.
There's a
Who
reason
cares?
That Adam Peters scoffed at his initial press conference when he was asked about the roster and what he was inheriting.
What they've done this year with this garbage is amazing. It's actually amazing where they are. It's amazing.
And so to go back to the opponent issue, and we'll take your calls now. I think it's just reality. Like, what we've now seen, there's enough evidence is they're not in the same league as the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Eagles.
And by the way, I said that when we played the Ravens.
Right. We were hopeful.
Before we played them.
We were hopeful based on what we had been seeing that they might be able to compete. And they competed. Look, the Ravens game, I mean, I guess they came back in that game. I mean, when you look at the yardage, actually, of the Ravens game, it wasn't that close. Steelers game could have gone either way. This game wasn't close. I know it was 12-10 in the fourth quarter, and they kick a field goal to take the lead, but they're outgained by basically 200 yards. The Eagles.
Yeah, but they got a lot of that at the end. I do think
true,
it was close.
But the Eagles,
I would argue that
their last five drives were all long and ended in field goals and touchdowns. And the score shouldn't have been that close if their donk kicker, who if they had lost that game, that donk kicker wouldn't have been able to go home.
He would have had security.
But I'll say this: they wore us down. Yes. That's obvious. They wore us down.
All right, let's sneak in a phone call before the break. Actually, we'll take a break. The phone lines are lit up. We'll come back. Take your calls. What do you think about this team and where it stacks up against the big boys? 800-636-1067 on Misery Friday. Brought to you by Chenega Mios, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV on a Misery Friday. Brought to you by Chenega Mios, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. It's definitely getting a little testier here in the studio and station. Here's what happens. They were 7-2. Everything's hunky-dory.
Sure.
Jaden Daniels is the toast of the town.
Yeah.
The whole nation is infatuated by Jaden. Everybody loves the Commanders. Well, they've lost two games in 5 days. All right. They lost on Sunday to the Steelers. They lost on Thursday night. Now they're going to have a little time to breathe. Let it marinate, get right against the Cowboys, and hopefully turn it around.
I'm going to decompress and go. I'm going to go stare at the ocean tonight.
Right.
I'm driving to Dewey Beach, and I'm going to have hang out with Monty at the Starboard in the cooler. I'm going to take a Commander's break.
But
I need a Commander's break after the last 5 days.
At 7-2, everybody's starting to dream NFC Championship. Well, now they've played a couple of the better teams in the NFL, and the Steelers and the Eagles. And you reassess where they are. And as EB said, now you're going to be in a battle for a playoff spot. Valdez went so far during one of the breaks. I don't know if he's wanted to say it on the air to say, I think they're going to miss the playoffs. I think that's a bridge too far.
If they made the playoffs and they started today, they would have a rematch with the Eagles. That's who their opponent would be.
Okay. Now, it's a lot possible. Who knows? I have no idea what they're going to do. I haven't lost any faith in Jaden. I want that to be 100% clear. Zero. I've lost zero faith in Jaden. That's okay. All. And Valdez did, remember, Valdez has taken a little bit of a heel turn now because it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Remember, he was adamant. They're a very good team, EB. How come you don't think they could go to the Super Bowl? They're a very good team. They're very good. They could have beat the Ravens. Remember, he was pounding
into me? Open is the phrase that he used.
What'd you say?
The window is open. Yeah, he loves saying that.
The window is open.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's fine. I mean, listen, I think we're coming back to Earth probably closer to where we should be.
Well, I didn't know the team sucks against good teams, and Jaden can't play when it's below 40 degrees.
Hey, so it went from Super Bowl window open to missing the playoffs?
I'm just saying it's not – they don't look good. Something's wrong.
Something's amiss.
The good juju, it might be.
It's the rib. It's the rib. It's that simple. He's beat
it might
up.
Be.
He's not 100%. I don't care
it might
what
be.
Dan Quinn says when he steps to the podium. And I don't care what Jaden says. They're doing it for diplomacy and for gamesmanship. His rib is not 100%, and it's affecting him, and it's affecting the entire offense.
I know one thing. The two games before the bye coming up right now,
yeah,
that's the biggest – that's the biggest must-win parlay I've ever seen in my life.
I don't tend to disagree with you on that.
Because
they need to bank those two wins.
I mean, if they go 1-1, I know that's fine and it's all hunky dory in terms of your playoff percentage, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you
it
what,
it doesn't look good.
Right,
they should beat them. I think they're better than both of those teams. But Dallas will be a challenge simply because it's a division rival. You never know how those games could go. But I will pick us in the next 2 weeks. For whatever that's worth. I told you a week ago I would pick the Eagles against us. I didn't like it. It upsets me. I'm going to root for us, obviously, but I thought the Eagles would win. Okay, Cakes got me caught up in some euphoria before the game, and I got a little Commander's bravado for the pregame thing.
No, I was caught up in it too because I believed that Jaden was that type of guy that could take a team that was deficient in talent and put it on its back and win a football game.
I think he can when he's 100%.
But there's no denying he's
not 100%.
I don't know.
They're wrapping him every series as soon as he gets off the field.
I don't know who was the most correct about Jaden Daniels. It's not
me.
Trab. It's not EB. It was Mike Tomlin. He was the most correct about Jaden Daniels.
He was just being deferential to Lamar.
He was
kissing Lamar's ass because he's got to play him twice a year.
But the point is that some people were elevating him already up to that status.
No, he shouldn't
be elevated that much. He has a lot more to prove.
Okay. He's got to do it more consistently.
And he's got to be able to do it against winning teams.
100%. But he doesn't have to do it all against winning teams this year.
I'm not disagreeing with you there. He's a rookie.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, one would expect him to be better next year.
In fact, he doesn't have that many more opportunities against winning teams other than... What's he got left? He's got Philly again, and he's got Atlanta, I guess. Right? That's it.
Definitely helps him.
Yeah.
And he's going to have some time off. The health thing is weird. Like, look, he's playing. And nobody was saying this after they beat up on the Giants. And nobody
was saying this after
the Hail Mary. There's a larger thing happening here with the team.
I agree. If
the narrative would be totally different had the Hail Mary not happened. Now, the Hail Mary did happen. That's his one 300-yard game, by the way, is against the Chicago Bears, the Hail Mary. If they had lost that Hail Mary game and you included these, they'd be 2-4 in their last six, and we would be talking about a serious swoon because that's more than half the season. So they're 3-3 in their last six. The last two games, if we take Jaden off the table, now Jaden's part of this, they haven't been able to run the football, and the defense has given up a lot of points.
Right.
But I don't play the if you take away X, Y, and Z game. Because you could say that about Saquon Barkley. Like, if he didn't have those two long touchdown runs late in the game, he had a pretty pedestrian game against the Commanders.
Okay, but
you know what?
Have they played good football? No, but have they played good football the last 6 weeks?
No.
All right. They're fortunate. My point about the takeaway the Hail Mary is
but again,
they're fortunate to be 3-3 in the last six.
Here's why they haven't played really good football. One, well, first and foremost, Jaden's not 100%. And he's a rookie quarterback. You're going to have peaks and valleys with a rookie quarterback outside of C.J. Stroud's weird 24 touchdown and 5 interception rookie campaign last year in Houston. It's not all 30 touchdowns and 12 picks for rookies. That's not usually the way it works.
It's that way even for Jared Goff the other day. Everyone thinks he's this amazing, but he had 5 interceptions the other day. All quarterbacks struggle at times. He's going through a struggle. And I agree with you, JP. I'm not going to blame it all on the injury at all because I've seen him rip throws. But
he did the one to Terry last night.
There's no denying that he's injured because they're wrapping him up after every series. I can't overstate that. They don't do that to any other quarterback in the league. They don't do that to any quarterback in college. They're wrapping him up. They're doing some sort of compression thing for some reason. Something's not right. And he's not going to blame it on the injury. The coaches aren't going to blame it on the injury. But clearly something's not right. He's not at 100%. We can say that.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067, the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's go to Bob listening on the Odyssey app. He's calling from Michigan.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. The coaches need to get some guts and sit him until after the bye week. He needs a month to heal. I played single-digit golf for 50 years. When you're injured, you start altering your swing mechanics to compensate. He is altering his throwing mechanics, and we saw it on display last night. Balls in the dirt, balls thrown behind, balls in front. He doesn't give him the best chance to win when he's not healthy.
Do you think wind was a factor in the weather? Some people pointed that out. He hasn't played many games in the cold and those type of conditions.
I don't think the conditions were that bad. It was like 48 degrees at game time.
You saw Jalen totally misfire one time when A.J. Brown was wide open by like 10 yards. Now, he was kind of rolling to his left. You saw the field goal kicker on one of those. The ball started on the right side, and it completely missed to the left and hooked to the left.
Let me say this. If Jaden is that affected by that sort of weather – then he's going to have a real nightmare of a time in the next 5 or 6 weeks because it's only going to get worse. I mean, that was mild compared to sleet, what he's going to see in December and January. Like, that was nothing last night in Philadelphia.
I don't know if it was a big...
kind of cold, but maybe a little bit of precip, but there weren't bad adverse weather conditions last night. I could tell.
I don't know if it was a big factor. Look, if I did the pie on why I don't think Jaden is playing as well as he was earlier this season, I'm going to put 75% on the opponents. I think 75% of it is they're playing really good defenses. The Eagles have a really good defense. You want to dismiss their 5 wins previously. I brought this up earlier. In those 5 wins before playing the Commanders, they outgained their opponents by over 900 yards.
They were smashing them. Because they're inferior opponents.
I know, but usually...
You should beat up on the dregs of the...
Ravens defense sucks. Their defense sucks.
Yeah, I mean, they're the
Ravens
biggest,
defense
biggest
sucks.
Pass funnel defense I've seen in the league.
I know, but usually...
Sucks. Stop giving them credit.
No, but usually the disparity is not that great in wins. And we saw it yesterday. They almost outgained Washington by 200 yards. So Philly is really good. So I put 75% on the opponents. I'll put 15% on just Jaden being a rookie and natural ups and downs. And then I'm going to put 10% on health / weather.
Drabby, what's your blame pie?
It's 59% on the coaches and 41% on Jaden.
Yeah,
not a silly man. You know what's interesting? I know where EB's going to stand. He's going to defend his guy. Kinks is going to make ludicrous claims all the time. What I don't want JP coming over on my side of Johnny. He's a two-faced. This guy was giving me so much crap earlier
he's
in the year.
Batman
it was me
villain.
And Mike Tomlin who said that Jaden wasn't great. Listen to this guy. This all started because you said, say he's elite. That's what it was. He's special and elite. You wanted me to say
he's special. I think he's special.
All right, I'm reserving judgment on special.
All right. I still believe that. Huh? I still believe that 100%. There's not a single syllable that I disagree with. He's special.
What's your beef with me?
You said there's no reservations.
There's no reservations. You were calling him elite and saying there's no reservations. He's special. And then you do what you
always
do.
I think he has
you
special talent.
You start crunching numbers. Behind the scenes, JP's been saying Sam Howell is now better than Jaden Daniels.
But he's too scared
to say it on the air.
No, I'm saving it.
Oh, you're outing him. I like this.
Well, go ahead. I did not say he's better. What I'm saying is
if you think Sam Howell is better than Jaden Daniels, I think you're a borderline moron.
I was giving you ammunition.
He's looking at numbers.
I was giving
He's
him ammunition.
Numbers.
Is that at this
you're
point
arguing
in
by
the
proxy.
Season?
You're arguing by proxy.
He's looking
Here's
at numbers.
Deal. At this point last year, people were anointing Sam Howell the long-term starter for the Washington Commanders.
Who was doing that?
EB, I think you, a lot of people.
John Allen.
He had 18 touchdown passes at this point.
Bodies, don't if you find me doing that on the
18
tape,
touchdown
that tape.
Passes.
Bribe me.
To 12 interceptions, okay? He had a late season collapse.
What's your memo?
The point is, it's too early. It was too early to anoint Sam Howell then. Now, Jaden's different. He was a number 2 pick, and he has elite talent. That is for sure. But it's too early to anoint him this elite guy, top 5 quarterback in the league MVP discussion. He's got 10 touchdown passes.
I hope JP's boyfriends, Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen, combine for a 3-2 slugfest this weekend in Buffalo. God, I'm hoping that happens.
I'm praying that happens.
I think
Jaden is a special, special player. He'd be the best one of his generation. Nothing has changed me from that. He just needs to play better, and he needs better help around him, and, you know, don't play a great team every week.
That certainly helps.
Yeah, and then, you know... He'll have great games against great teams. That'll happen. Might not happen this year. That'll happen, though. Of course it's going to happen.
800-636-1067 is the number. Scott Abraham from ABC7 joins us next.